Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are 594 days until the presidential election, but even now, White House hopefuls have Michigan on their radar screens. Monday brought Democrats Kristen Gillibrand and Beto O'Rourke to Metro Detroit, and Michiganders showed up. O'Rourke told a crowd in Centerline in Macomb County he knows Michigan's been grappling with a lot of water issues, and poor water quality is becoming a big problem across the nation.
Campaigning across Texas, I found that there are 48 water systems just in my home state where it is not safe to drink the water.
Just a few miles away in Oakland County, Gillibrand told a crowd in Clawson she thinks she can win over centrist voters with progressive values.
And I don't have to sacrifice my progressive stances to do so. I am still 100% pro-choice, pro-LGBT rights, pro-clean air, pro-clean water. I lead the nation's charge on transgender truths.
And President Trump will hold a rally in Grand Rapids on March 28th. Notably, Grand Rapids was the last stop for candidate Trump in 2016. The very next day, he won the White House. Here with us now is Tim Alberta. He's chief political correspondent for Politico magazine and, by the way, from Michigan. Tim, great to have you here. Is there indeed a buzz in Washington about Michigan being a must-win state in 2020?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Look, if you consider how Donald Trump won the White House in 2016, it was very much this narrow path, this inside straight, as some of his aides and advisors will describe it, through middle America and specifically through the Rust Belt, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. These were states that no Democrat had lost, or no Republican had won, I should say, since 1992 in the Electoral College. And Donald Trump was able to win each of these states by very narrow margins, in the case of Michigan, only winning it by about 10,700 votes. So obviously, it is a top priority for Democrats to win back the White House in 2020 to starve him of that very narrow path that he exploited in 2016. And for Republicans, they are keenly aware of the fact that the president has not done much to expand that path. In other words, if he's going to win re-election, it is going to be by carrying those same states in 2020 that he won in 2016. He has not improved his standing with suburbanites and with Hispanics in a way that would allow him to compete in states that he had lost, such as Virginia or Nevada, or certainly a state like New Mexico that he lost by an even wider margin. So that path remains pretty narrow, and that's why Michigan is a top priority for him, but also a top priority for Democrats, any Democrat winning the nomination.
When you stop and you think that, so 2 years after President Trump won Michigan, like you said, by just over 10,000 votes, such a narrow margin, and then 2 years later, voters elected a Democrat for governor, and they flipped two congressional districts from Republican to Democrat. So what's the calculus there for GOP leaders thinking that they can, you know, win Michigan for the presidential race?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think that nobody can turn out Donald Trump's voters like Donald Trump. And this is very much a Donald Trump Republican Party at this point. There is a strong belief still in the White House, and with some justification, that with Trump on the ballot, it doesn't matter who Democrats nominate, and it doesn't matter who's down ballot, that Trump will turn out the Republican base. Trump will mobilize Republican voters in a way that nobody else in the party is capable of doing, including many of these congressional incumbents who lost their seats last November, in many cases trying their best to do Trump impersonations, and it just didn't work for them, or in other cases trying to distance themselves altogether from the president. Ultimately, this is a party that's going to win or lose based on him and him alone. And so I think that there is some reasonable expectation that a lot of folks who did not turn out to vote last November because he wasn't on the ballot will turn out to vote next November if the president is in fact on the ballot. And we have no reason to believe at this point, of course, that he won't be.
Let's talk about some Democratic soul searching. Is there a sense among Democrats about where they failed in Michigan in 2016?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, if you lay 20 of them on the couch, you would get 20 different answers about that. Look, I think there's a couple of things that are important to consider. First and foremost, you know, Hillary Clinton was very, very weak in turning out certain elements of the Democratic base, specifically African-American voters. And we saw that in Wayne County, obviously anchored by Detroit. We saw it in Milwaukee. We saw it in Philadelphia. We saw it really predominantly in Cuyahoga County in Ohio, where Cleveland is, and other parts of Ohio, urban centers. $1,000. So that's something that any Democrat hoping to beat Donald Trump is just going to have to do better on that score. And I think beyond that, Hillary Clinton obviously did not have the appeal to white working class Americans that even Barack Obama had 4 years and 8 years earlier. So there are significant vulnerabilities that Donald Trump has that can be exploited by the right Democratic nominee. And I think what that obviously sets up for us as political analysts, as we study this race and this Democratic nominating contest, is, you know, will Democrats nominate someone who is capable of exploiting those vulnerabilities and capable of turning out the Democratic base? And I think that is something of an open question, because you do have now a real tension inside this post-Obama Democratic Party, sort of a battle for the hearts and souls of voters and the direction of that party. And there's nothing that this president would like more than to sort of set up this very sharp juxtaposition, as he's been trying to do for the last several months, in which he can sort of convey to voters, look, you might think I'm a little bit extreme, but look at these guys. They're not even capitalists. So that is the fight. That is the tension happening on the Democratic front right now as they begin this long, grueling process of choosing their nominee out of a field of people that might ultimately approach 20.
Yeah, we're not done yet, I get a sense. Certainly, Joe Biden's making those hints, and I think no one really believes that was an accidental slip of the tongue the other day.
No.
Should we expect then here in Michigan to see a lot of candidate traffic through the next 594 days? Are we going to be inundated with candidates like Iowa is every 4 years?
You know, it won't be like Iowa, because in Iowa's case and in New Hampshire's case, you know, those are the states still that really winnow the field. So if you are a second or a third tier candidate hoping to catch lightning in a bottle en route to winning the nomination or having a chance to win the nomination, you need a huge performance in one of those states as a springboard. So obviously those are the two states, along with South Carolina, which goes third, that will receive a really inordinate amount of attention, a disproportionate amount of attention from the candidates. But certainly, anyone who thinks that they have a chance of becoming the Democratic nominee, not just for the purposes of winning the primary, but for the purposes of winning the general election, they are going to spend time in the industrial Midwest, and they're certainly going to spend time in Michigan, because there is an argument to be made that of those three states I mentioned earlier, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, those are the three that are sort of holding the keys to the kingdom at this point. And there's a very persuasive argument to be made that Michigan and its 16 electoral votes would be the easiest for Democrats to retake of those three. Not that any of them will be easy, but that if any of them are going to flip, I think Michigan, which was carried by the smallest margin of the three, would be the easiest. So, look, there's a reason Beto O'Rourke's there. I think you're going to see a number of these sort of top-tier Democratic candidates. I think certainly Joe Biden, if and when he gets in the race, you'll see him spending a lot of time in the region as well.
Tim Alberta, Chief Political Correspondent for Political Magazine. I've got an idea that we're going to be talking a lot over the next 594 days. Tim, thank you
so
much.
Thank you. My pleasure.